listening to Cross the Border. That's the name of this program. I'm Nicholas, and we're continuing here in Psalms. We left off in Psalm 9 before the break there. So I'm going to back up a little bit. Let's see. Yahuwah, and of course the Lord in the Authorized King James Version, shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment. And he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. Yahuwah also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And he certainly is that. And they know thy name, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Yahuwah, hath not forsaken them that seek thee. Sing praises to Yahuwah, which dwell in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. When he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. And there's a word, inquisition. When he maketh inquisition. So all of you sinners out there, all of you worshipers of Baal, all of you, having your holidays, there's an inquisition coming that none will escape. The only ones that will escape his inquisition are those whose sins are covered by the blood of the Lamb. If your sins are not covered by the blood of the Lamb, you are going directly to his inquisition. So there is an inquisition coming. You will not be able to hide from it. All of you that are conducting your own little inquisitions as if you are some kind of God to persecute those that call upon his name, there's an inquisition coming for you. You're going to miss the first resurrection, because this inquisition is reserved for all of those who miss the first resurrection. They're going to the resurrection of the damned, I call it. The scripture says, blessed is he who has part in the first resurrection. It ain't going to work out too good for those that miss it. It's like that verse, is all things work together for good to those that love God. Well, things ain't going to work out too good for those that hate God and hate his people and persecute him and his name and his people. They're going to have an inquisition, because when they give their last breath, the next thing they know, they are going to appear in his courtroom. And their inquisition isn't going to be like the inquisitions that they have. There's going to be no false allegations. There are going to be no false charges or false witnesses. There is only going to be truth, undeniable truth. They will stand and they will fall. And their fall will be forever, because it says they will not stand. They will not stand in the congregation of the righteous. Inquisition. There you go. Let's see, inquisition, the word there, darash. When he maketh inquisition for blood, and that means for your murders, he remembereth them, he forgetteth not the cry of the humble. Have mercy upon me, Yahuwah, consider my trouble, which I suffer of them that hate me, thou that liftest me up from the gates of death, that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in thy salvation. The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made, in the net which they hid is their own foot taken. Yahuwah is known by the judgment which he executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. And he says, Higayon, it's a murmuring sound, and Selah, so some kind of a musical note of a sort. The wicked, Psalm 9, verse 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. And that's, I'm in the midst of a nation that has forgotten God. Israel, with the 70th week, the advent of the 70th week, as a nation, they had forgotten God. And, of course, that was the abomination, which maketh desolate, and the nation Israel fell from the face of history forever. Of course, there was a remnant, and he always had his remnant. Every time the nation Israel fell, he always had his remnant, and he proclaimed it. And he still has his remnant today in the earth. He has his remnant in America, a nation that has forgotten God. That is obvious by the laws that they passed and how they sanction sodomy. They sanction those that hate God. They sanction adultery. They sanction murder. Certainly, they have forgotten God and they've forgotten his law. But just as certain, there is a remnant that have not forgotten. Continuing in verse 18, for the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, Yahuwah, let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men, that they may know that they are just men. And they are not gods, though they certainly act like gods, do they not? They lord it over others, and as the Messiah said, you shall not be. In my kingdom, it will not be like the kingdoms of this world, where men lord it over one another. But the greatest in my kingdom will be the servant of all. So you want to be great in his kingdom? Then you have to serve, not as the nations of this world, where they think of themselves as gods, lording it over one another. Chapter 10 and verse 1. Why standest thou afar off, Yahuwah, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? You know, we all feel this. We all feel like when trouble comes, it feels like he is far off. And it reminds me of a question that many people ask. Goes something like this. If there is a God, why does he allow so much evil in the world? Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thyself in times of trouble? Why is there so much evil in the world? He continues, the wicked in his pride does persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. He's not hiding. He is not far off. He allows them to build their wicked devices, to construct their wicked constructs, and they will be taken in them. But the poor are persecuted, and the righteous are persecuted. Why? That sin may be judged. Because if the wicked couldn't do wickedly, then would they have a choice to serve him or to not serve him? Because if we serve him, then we do righteousness. If we choose not to serve him, we do wickedness. And that wickedness brings suffering and corruption. And who is it going to bring suffering and corruption upon? Well, first, it's going to bring suffering and persecution against those that can't defend themselves. That's right. So why do the wicked prosper? Why does God allow suffering and evil in the world? That sin may be seen for what it is. That sin may be judged in the flesh, but it's only temporary. Also, we know that all things work together for good to those that love God, so that it will work out his purpose in our life, that we may be tried as gold, that we may be conformed to the image of his only begotten Son, who was perfected or matured through suffering. So if he was perfected or matured through suffering, how much more us who are evil, who are sinful? I know a lot of people don't like to think of themselves that way, but the Messiah said it. He said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more the Father who is in heaven? How much more your Father who is in heaven? He said, if you being evil, we recognize. You know, that's where the humble part comes in. We recognize what we are, that our righteousness is only a gift from him, that everything good in our lives is a gift from God. None of it comes from us. Only the wicked look at themselves and say, I'm a good man. God won't let me go to hell. That's not very humble, is it? No, the humble man says, Everything good in my life is a gift from God. I'm not a good man apart from Him. I'm only good because He is good, because He has imputed His righteousness to me. No good thing comes out of me unless it comes from Him first. The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. And how do they do that today? How do they in their pride persecute the poor? Oh, we're doing it for the good of mankind. We're doing it for the children. Oh, we're so good. So we're going to persecute you. We're going to steal from the poor because we need to take from you and give to those that we deem more worthy. We have to redistribute the wealth. In their pride, they persecute the poor in spirit. Because here the word poor can also be humble, lowly, afflicted. The wicked in his pride doth persecute the humble, the lowly, and the afflicted. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire and blesseth the covetous, whom Yahuwah abhorreth. Yeah, they do. They bless the covetous. They steal from the people. They steal from the lowly, not from the lofty. And they redistribute the wealth to their friends. I mean, who's getting the bailout money here? You know? And where are they getting it from? They're enslaving the people to reward all of their friends in the government. They're not in the governments for service anymore. Grace, that was what, like I said, one of the lamb-like principles that the nation was founded on, that those who rule would be servants of the people. No longer are they servants of the people. They're self-serving, and they serve themselves and their friends who put them there and who keep them in their positions of not service to the people of the nation, but their position of power over the people to lord it over them. Yes, that lamb-like feature is gone. And anyone who would exhibit that lamb-like feature in service to their country, well, they're relegated to impotence in the government. That's right, impotence. They have no power because those who would lord it over, have the power, and they make sure that those who would correct the ills of government, who would try to re-implement those lamb-like features, they make sure that they have no voice, no power to return the government to a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. So we'll continue. The wicked through pride of his countenance, and of course his countenance is how he sees himself and how he is seen by others. Through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not at all in their thoughts, in his thoughts. Yeah, is he? No, he's not. He's not at all. You can tell by the things they do because they do them without fear of God. They don't fear that the very things that they do to others will come back on their own head. They only look at the countenance of their position, how they see themselves and how others see them, and how it will profit them and their friends during this life, how it will secure their position of power. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above, out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he puffeth at them. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. Oh, that's how they feel. You know, while they plunge others into adversity and trials and tribulations, they say, oh, it'll never happen to me. And those, you see them all the time. You know, they jump on the bandwagon. They believe all the lies. They persecute and taunt the righteous as they're being persecuted. And they go, it'll never happen to me. I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. He sitteth in the lurking places of the villages, and in the secret places doth he murder the innocent. His eyes are privily set against the poor. What is, how do we apply that? His eyes are privily set against the poor. He doth murder in secret places. Well, he hides. Well, secret places. Let's see. How can we apply that to a situation today? Oh, yeah. How about this? The privacy of the children. What they can do out of concern for the privacy of the children. Yes, our inquisitions must be done in secret. That's right. By law. Nothing can be exposed to the public. They don't want people to see what they're doing. And if they can use the law to hide their wickedness, that is exactly what they do. In secret places doth he murder the innocent. His eyes are privily set against the humble, the poor. He lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor when he draweth him into his net. Yes, we need to keep our eyes wide open. We need to watch for that net. Sometimes they catch you in it when you're not looking. He croucheth. He humbleth himself that the poor may fall by his strong ones. Who are strong ones? Well, they're the ones who are armed. Well, I guess they call them policy enforcers, don't they? Policemen. He has said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face. He will never see it. There is no God. I am God. Yes, we all came out of this rock, didn't we? Didn't we evolve from the mucky mire over millions of years? And life evolved when it rained in the rocks for millions of years, and then life formed, and then something crawled out of the ocean. And yes, there is no God. He has said in his heart, thou wilt not require it. Thou hast seen it, for thou beholdest mischief and spite to requite it with thy hand. The poor committeth himself unto thee, speaking of our Creator. Thou art the helper of the fatherless. Break thou the arm of the wicked and the evil man. Seek out his wickedness till thou find none. It's coming. That time is coming where all of the wicked will never be found again. Yahuwah is king forever and ever. The heathen are perished out of his land. Yahuwah hath, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear, to judge the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may no more oppress. And who is the man of the earth? Well, the man who believes there is no God. The man who says, hey, we sprung out of these rocks, and out of these rocks the slime developed into life, into the ocean, and then it crawled out onto the land, and then all the animals formed, and then suddenly, you know, all of a sudden, man eventually formed. First he was a little monkey type thing, and then he evolved into an ape, and then he evolved into man. There is no God. That's the man of the earth who oppresses because he doesn't fear God, because he has convinced himself that a rock is his father. That he came out of slime. And hey, what a comforting thought for those that practice wickedness, those that hate their neighbor, that oppress others for gain, for money. Yes, that's their motivating thing, is the riches that this life has to offer. But we know what their end is. We can count on the word of our Heavenly Father that their end will be nothing. That their end will be eternal punishment, that they will reap what they have sown, that everything that they devised against those whom they oppressed, that their wickedness, that their sin, and their love for sin may be revealed. It will all come upon them forever. Yes, they may cause us to be suffering, but our Heavenly Father is going to take all of that persecution, all of that suffering, and he is going to use it for our good. Not too good for them, but yes, for our good, he is going to conform us to the image of his only begotten Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren, as it is written there in Romans 8:28, 29, and 30. Read it there for yourself. You've been listening to Cross the Border. And remember, there's nothing more important in this life than that you cross the border into the kingdom of heaven and live forever. Hallelujah.